Let us pray. Heavenly Father, gracious God, who desires the salvation of all people and has given to us faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, by which faith our sins are forgiven and we are made children of God, we praise and bless your holy name for your mercy and grace towards us. Help us truly to believe on Jesus as both true man and true God, who has given us salvation through his death on the cross. By your holy word, lead us to repent of our sins so that we can appreciate what Jesus has done for us and cling only to his work of salvation. Give us joy and the desire to fight against sin in our lives, that we live as you ask us to do and glorify your name in all that we say and do. Prepare our hearts that we may celebrate Christ's birth with joy and faith. In his name we pray, amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for us this morning is written in the third chapter of St. Luke, beginning at the first verse, and reads as follows in Jesus' name. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Etruria and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, while Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region round Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear repentant children of God, a recent report about a large survey states that Christmas Eve has a great risk of heart attack. And some factors in this report include emotional stress, excessive eating or drinking of alcohol, or long-distance travel. And with Christmas only 9 days away, we might feel overburdened with Christmas activities, buying presents, planning meals, getting out Christmas cards, concerns about visitors and the weather and our health, even concerns about finals this week. Such a list could induce panic if we had to do all these things at the last minute. Now, God did not send his Son into our world to increase stress. Jesus came to bring us peace, not panic. In his grace, God sent John the Baptist to prepare the hearts of the people so that they would know who the Messiah was and would follow and listen to his words. And it is also important for us to listen to John the Baptist as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas. John the Baptist tells us that he is preparing the way of the Lord, which is our theme for today, prepare the way of the Lord. And John told the people how they should prepare. Straighten out the crooked places, receive the salvation of our God, and produce real fruits of repentance. The saving of the world occurred within the history of the human race. Tiberius Caesar ruled for 23 years, starting in 15 AD. He was the second emperor of Rome. After Augustus died in the year 14 AD, Tiberius Caesar appointed Pontius Pilate as governor of Judea. And Pilate came to Judea the same year that John the Baptist began preaching in the Jordan River. After Herod the Great's death in 4 BC, the Romans had divided his kingdom into three tetrarchies ruled by his sons, Herod Antipas, Philip, and Lysanias. The religious situation in Judah was no better. Luke tells us that Annas and Caiaphas were the high priest that year. Now, God had commanded that the high priest would serve all of his life, and then when he had died, a new high priest would be appointed. But the Romans had deposed Annas as high priest, and in the next few years, they installed three other people as high priest, and finally, Annas' son-in-law, Caiaphas, became high priest for 10 years, the same time that Pilate was governor of Judea. Both Annas and Caiaphas were deeply involved in the death of Jesus later on. Politics for them became more important than religious duties that they were supposed to be doing as the high priest before God. And Caiaphas would later advise the Sanhedrin that it was expedient that one man should die rather than all the people would perish under the armies of the Roman armies. In this world of intrigue and politics and spiritual darkness, the Bible says, the word of the God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Once again, after 400 years, God had raised up another prophet to proclaim his word to prepare the way of the Lord. This prophet is John the Baptist, and he denied that he was a prophet or that he was Elijah or that he was the Christ. And when he asked, "Who do you say that you are?" he quoted the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight this way of the Lord." Isaiah had promised that God would send somebody before in order to prepare the people to know who the Messiah is, to let them understand and to listen to the Messiah, to prepare their hearts, meaning that they need to repent of their sins. John's message was both law and gospel when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Greek word repent means to change your mind that leads to sorrow over sin. To change your mind, meaning that living in darkness, living in sin and unbelief, needs to be changed so that we now listen to God's word, that we understand our own sins and repent of them and cling to Jesus, to the Messiah, for that forgiveness. Repentance is major surgery on our soul. That is, removing the stony heart of sin and unbelief and being given by God the warm heart of faith in Jesus. Repentance is an operation that requires the work of God, the Holy Spirit, on our hearts, because we can't do it ourselves. The law convicts us to show us what's wrong with us, so that we see our need for a Savior. Repentance is necessary if we are to be prepared to properly celebrate Christmas. Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, many people consider themselves to be righteous, that is, spiritually well. Such people have no reason to see a need for a Savior, a deliverer from sin. But they forget God's description of mankind, spoken before the flood. "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." King David also said, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And Solomon declared, "There is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin." Sin also means that we cannot rescue ourselves from our predicament. We cannot cure ourselves. The psalm says, "None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, that he should live eternally." To those who think that they were righteous, John the Baptist did not sugarcoat his words. "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." The Pharisees came to John with no intention of repenting of their sins. They didn't think they had any. And therefore, they came to challenge John instead of listen to him. John's harsh words were the law to try and help them to see their need for a Savior, a need for the Messiah, so that they would fill in the valleys and straighten out their crooked lives. But they refused. The fruits worthy of repentance are real sorrow for sin, humbling confessing that we cannot save ourselves, and trusting in God's salvation. Now, the gospel message of John was the kingdom of heaven is near, namely that the Messiah, the Son of God, was walking on earth and would soon be revealed. Now, Along with repentance, we are to receive the salvation of the God, as the last sentence in our text says. John, standing by the river, was dressed in camel hair. He was more, though, than just a preacher of the law. Luke tells us that John prepared the way of the Lord by proclaiming the gospel. He went into all the region around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Preaching repentance and law prepared hearts to receive the gospel, as St. Paul said, but the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Christ Jesus might be given to those who believe. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Those who repented of their sins were baptized by John in the Jordan River, and they received the forgiveness of their sins. That was the gospel. God, you see, doesn't leave us to sorrow in our sins and continue to sorrow with no hope and no change in our situation. He wants us to believe that God has solved the problem of our sins, that God has brought forgiveness through the Messiah coming into this world. And John's baptism proclaimed that God had washed away the sins on account of God's promises. Now, baptism is not just a ritual cleansing, but it is the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That is, it is a forgiveness of sins. The water doesn't do anything, but the word added to the water brings us a water of life. The Bible says when St. Paul was converted, the prophet said to him, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." And God offers to us the same baptism of forgiveness and you being close to the Lord. For baptism unites us with Jesus and with all the things that he had done to save us. Through baptism, we receive the benefits of Jesus' death on the cross. And as Jesus is buried in the tomb, so are our sins buried in the tomb. And as Jesus rises to a new life, so we rise to a new life, a life of faith. Jesus loved us so much that he was willing to die for our sins. And because he died, baptism unites us with that death and with that forgiveness that he won on the cross. He established our righteousness. He gives us a robe of righteousness because Jesus said, "I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death." When Isaiah wrote, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God," he included us in Jesus' work of salvation. John the Baptist referred to God's desire to save all people when he said, "God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." John meant that even hard-hearted Gentiles would be brought to hear God and to praise and glorify God by crushing of the law, leading to repentance of sins, and then the proclamation of God's peace, forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And the picture of putting on Christ is a picture of clothing, covering over our sins. That's what happens when we have faith in Jesus. God looks at us as though we had never sinned, because he's looking at us through the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to all those who are baptized in his name, those who believe in Jesus. However, John the Baptist warned, especially those who are enemies of the truth and the self-righteous Pharisees, "The axe is laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire." Dear friends, no one can bear good fruit without faith in Jesus. And on the other hand, faith in Jesus produces good fruit. So we are to also, in our repentance, bear fruits of repentance. Can we who have been washed from sin in baptism, can we continue in our old sinful lives? Some people even say, "Well, I can sin because God will forgive me." And in Romans 6, St. Paul says, "God forbid." He added, "Therefore, we are buried with Christ through baptism into death, that just as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. St. Paul declares that Jesus was crucified for our sins, even so our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We cannot live this new life of holiness by ourselves. And that is why we need to be involved with the power of God. And that power comes to us through his word, through baptism, as we drown the old Adam every day, and also through the Lord's Supper. Because as we are confronted and receive and be more aware of God's love for us, it moves us to love God in return and to live holy lives according to God's will. When the people asked John what they should do in their repentance, he did not give them impossible tasks. Under the commandment of love one another, John taught, "He who has two tunics, let him give to one who has none." And so God places the poor and the lonely and the oppressed in our lives so that we don't ignore them, but we help them. Just as Jesus loved all people and died for them, so we are to love them. And St. James asks, what does it profit of us if we tell a poor person, well, be good and be clothed, and we don't help them at all? What good is our faith? The tax collectors and soldiers were not told to leave their occupations, but to stop their sins of greed and coveting and be content with what they have. Today, you and I have examined our lives. We see the evil that's in us. We see our need for a Savior. We see the sickness. And we confess that before God, we stand condemned under his law. But we also stand here as baptized children of God. The Lord is at hand. His kingdom is here. The forgiveness that Jesus won for us is given to us through the absolution, through baptism, and the Lord's Supper. The Bible says those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And so God has implanted in us the desire to produce fruits, the fruits of joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And so St. Paul says, be kind to one another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Dear friends, as we prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas, think of the blessings God has given to us, that he sent John the Baptist to prepare our hearts with that message, straighten out our lives and look to Jesus. He has given us the blessing of knowing that Jesus was born, died, and rose again to give us forgiveness. And he has given us the blessing of faith so that we can know him and trust in him and realize that we have eternal life. Let us, as we grow closer to Christmas, look at the love of Jesus, see the blessings of the Lord, and trust that we are forgiven and have eternal life. God grant this to us all. Amen. Let us rise for the blessing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.